T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our NFL insider here on 95.7 The Game and a longtime friend of mine. He's from the NFL Network these days. Mike Silver joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. Mike, I'm rocking my Pac-12 football shirt this morning. I think I might be one of the few people in the country who has this T-shirt. T-2 weeks, baby, until our Bears begin to track towards a Pac-12 North title. Look out, Oregon. Here come the Bears, Mike.
I love it, Kate. And, you know, I would normally say one at a time, and really when there are only 7, you have no choice but to view it that way. So one at a time, Kate. Let's get that first one.
Oh, well, it is great to have you on today, Mike. 49ers, once again, just decimated by injuries. It feels like they lose another chunk of their starting lineup every season. Are we crazy? Are we too stuck in the now? Or is this season truly unlike any other when it comes to all teams at the injuries?
You know, I haven't seen the actual numbers on it. I mean, anecdotally, early on, it was a brutal hit. And then, you know, again, this weekend, just, you know, impact players you saw go down, like Devin Bush, Taylor Lewan, you know, guys who are going to leave a real hole in their teams. But, the Niners have been disproportionately hit. Obviously, Bosa is as big a game changer at that position as there is in the league. The defense is really, really, reminiscent personnel-wise of what we saw in the Super Bowl. And obviously, they got exposed against the Dolphins pretty brutally, but got to give a lot of credit to Robert Saleh for patching it together and you know, those players for putting forth that performance on Sunday night. They've really only had one rough day defensively. Otherwise, they've been pretty good.
You know, Mike, I'm hoping you and KT Scott can get me to a Rose Bowl of Pasadena. It'd be nice to see the Golden Bears once smell the roses for the first time in 60-plus years here.
Stop kissing up. I mean, come on.
I'm just trying to get to a Rose Bowl.
Al has not been to the Rose Bowl in my lifetime. I never think about that.
It's weird.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
That's all. I just want to see Cal. Stafford smelled the roses. I know you're a Stafford guy, Shasta.
Oh, man. Al, you know, it's going to be a rough conversation.
I know.
I mean, is it that off? I mean, it's not like Cal's been any good in football. I mean, you guys are over here delusional. I mean, give me a break here. Come on. Seriously.
What you got, Bonte?
Mike, look, with the unknowns of COVID-19 and the unknowns of the cap next year and what the draft will look like, how much action do you believe we'll see at the trading deadline, considering how many teams and contenders are injured, as you just mentioned? Devin Bush with the Steelers and Luan with the Titans, and we know about the Niners. How much action do you believe we'll see at the trading deadline?
Well, I think in general, you know, we're in an era where there's more action than there was a long, long kind of dead period in the NFL where teams were very trade averse. I think we have a newer wave of GMs. GMs get fired more quickly, so that may have something to do with it. But people who are going after it, I don't know if COVID makes much of a difference here. I just think, right now the games are being played, which means the cap probably won't be too brutal in coming years. If all goes well, the cap will go down next year under the formula they negotiated, but I don't think it's going to be so appreciable that teams will shy away. You're not going to see a baseball-like effect where we just got to shed salary and hope we're good in like 8 years or whatever. So, you know, it's an interesting question. And, you know, I would look to teams like, say, the Falcons, where they're essentially rebooting. And, you know, I don't know if that means Matt Ryan is out there, but certainly, you know, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, for example, I feel like I can go after it this year, and Julio Jones is sitting there. How do you not try to make a run at that? I know how. You're the Green Bay Packers. You're the most reactive, passive organization in football. And even though you have somehow a generational quarterback for the second time in a row, you know, why would you aggressively surround him with talent? The same quarterback who got robbed of his rightful Rose Bowl in 2004 mm-hmm. by a conspiring of forces that
Mac Brown
still in Texas,
yeah, including Mac Brown, mm-hmm. and also Kate didn't rile up the fans to riot levels.
Yep.
You know, we needed an actual riot. We probably mm-hmm. needed some Antifa involvement in yep. that respect.
You know, Mike, if memory serves, did they lose to Texas Tech in that bowl game that they're in? I think it was the Holiday Bowl. Yeah. Johnny Mack, City College, San Francisco. Man, that was a...
I mean, Joe, when you're set to go to a Rose Bowl, right, Mike, and then all of a sudden you end up down in Petco in San Diego, like, it's hard to get up for that game.
Yeah. I mean, put it this way, Cal and Texas were the two teams being debated over that spot, even though the Rose Bowl wanted Cal. Texas lost to Oklahoma that year. Cal lost to SC, and then SC and Oklahoma played, and SC won by about 9,000 points. So, you know, it was a rough day against Mike Leach and Texas Tech, but that game
should
never have been played.
Yeah, it's all good. You golden bears. Oh, my gosh, insufferable. All right, let's get back to Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick Mullins, obviously the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. You wrote a couple years ago about the Nick Mullins situation, you know, backing up Jimmy Garoppolo and how much the Niners really liked Nick Mullins behind the scenes. Where do you think the Niners are at inside that building regarding Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, and the trust that those two have with each other, or lack thereof?
You know, I think they're in a pretty good place. So what I said was, what I reported going into last season was that if Jimmy struggled and or they weren't winning, that they would not hesitate to go to Nick Mullins because of their high regard for him. And then obviously they won every game after I said that for like months, and Jimmy was pretty good. So it was a moot point. But, you know, that was then, and I think Jimmy's at a different place now. They've seen him really rise up in some big, big moments. You know, you think about that December game against the Rams when they had the 2 3rd and 16 that he converted to pull out that dramatic victory. You know, he played very, very well in the Super Bowl until, you know, the very end. He missed that last pass to Sanders. But, you know, I think people who – you know, people maybe have a finer appreciation for Jimmy, outsiders, I mean, after seeing, you know, we saw some Mullins, we saw some CJ, there was some good, there was some bad, but, you know, Jimmy came back and really gave him a boost against the Rams. So, you know, in terms of throwing the football, just arm talent, he is unbelievably elite, like space age, scary. In terms of running Kyle's offense to a T the exact way he wants it run, it's been a work in progress, but I think it's trending upward. And in terms of temperament and, you know, being able to handle Kyle and the intensity and the tantrums and the exacting nature, and I don't mean tantrums like, you know, throw it a fit. I just mean expressing yourself very, very directly. You know, Jimmy's got the ultimate temperament for that. He does not freak out about it. He lets it bounce off him. The players vibe on that. So in some ways, I think he's actually the perfect quarterback for Kyle temperament-wise.
Tell us more about that, Mike, because that's one of the things that we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, where Kyle and Jimmy are at when it comes to their trust and if they are a good fit. So tell us more why you think that Jimmy could actually be the perfect guy for Kyle.
I mean, you know, it's hard when you're when you've got someone who wants things done a certain way, happens to be brilliant, and believes in his heart and from lots of experience that if it's done the way that he tells you to do it, it's going to be great. And, you know, I think if, you know, if that person also is not subtle in expressing that, and you can feel that if you don't hear it, and we hear everyone hears everything this year, you know, then it can rattle you. And, you know, meanwhile, you have 300 pounders coming at you, and you've got to direct a huddle with 10 other people. And, you know, it happens really, really fast, and it's a lot. So being able to be chill with that part of it and to just kind of let that bounce off you and just move on to the next play. And, you know, and at the same time being tough and resilient, you know, that's not a given. And Jimmy's like elite at that. And I think, you know, he is very, very popular in that locker room. And that's one of the reasons. He's also a great guy, but, you know, the reason the George Kittles of the world, you know, the driving forces inside that locker room are Team Jimmy and so drawn to him is because they know he's very, very cool in those moments, and he's very, very able to not think of it in an egotistical manner. It's not, oh, no, I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm being attacked. It's the coach is upset because he wanted me to do this. Let's move on to the next play, and we'll try to do it that way next time. And, you know, it's worked out really, really well during many of his starts.
No, I totally agree with you, Mike. Looking at back at the deadline and some of the pass rushers, because, look, this Niners team, I don't think they can go deep into the playoffs without the pass rushers. You know, Armstead's out there. Kinlaw's a rookie. Kerry Hyder Jr. is playing at a high level. But, I mean, you can't expect to play 60 snaps per game. Obviously, missing Bosa and Dee Ford, who knows when he's going to be back. That's going to take its toll. Looking at a pass rusher, not even via trade, but a guy like Clay Matthews, a situational pass rusher, does he have any interest in playing football in 2020? I know he worked out with the Broncos. Apparently, there was some mutual interest with the Broncos. I could be wrong there, Mike. Does Clay Matthews want to play football, and would he be a guy that the Niners could probably pluck and play on a snap count?
Well, I haven't talked to Clay this week, but I can tell you exactly what his mentality was late in the summer and going into the start of the season, because the Seahawks were talking to him, and you know, that would have been an interesting fit with Pete Carroll there. And then later the Broncos, after the Von Miller thing, got involved. This was Clay's thought. I would love to play football for what I perceive my value to be. I've got lots of money, and I believe that I'm worth $6 million a year at this stage of my career. If you also believe that, then I would love to play football for you. If you believe I'm worth the veteran minimum and a couple of incentives, then I don't want to play for you. So it wasn't, oh no, Clay doesn't want to play football. He just was holding to his value. And I guess literally he's earned the right to do that because he doesn't believe he needs the money.
Wow, I'd love to be in that position, man.
I mean, no doubt.
Good for the Matthew family. What a great lineage. I want to ask about the Niners, though, because I'm just like, who are they? Are they the team that lost to the Miami Dolphins, like, in such an ugly fashion? Or are they more the team that we saw Sunday night that knocked off the Rams and just played such inspiring football?
You know, they're very, very, very well coached. On both sides of the ball, all the way down to the position coaches. That's going to be top-notch. Their game plans will be good. They obviously will be motivated, I think, in key moments. We saw that Sunday. And, you know, that's going to be at a very high level. They still have definitely some good, you know, very good players. And I think they can compete defensively and keep games, you know, to a winnable point defensively, even as they fight through these injuries. They're going to have to generate offense, enough offense, the way they did in the first half against the Rams would be ideal. They play in a brutally tough division. Maybe the best division I've seen in the NFL in many, many years. I mean, the NFC West is that good. It is the exact mirror opposite of the maybe mirror is the bad word there. They are the exact opposite of the NFC East, which is, you know, I put a joke on Twitter last night when the Cowboys were down 21-0 that this game's really going to shake up the NFC East standings. The joke, which, of course, many people didn't get, was that the Cowboys remain in first place at 2-4 and look atrocious, and the Eagles are going, yeah, well, good thing we got that tie against the Bengals because we're 1-4-1 and we're lurking. It's going to be a weekly challenge to figure out a way to compete. But you know, they've got the coaches to do it. They're obviously battle tested, and they still have enough elite players like George Kittle that I think they'll give it a run. 7 of the 16 teams get in the playoffs this year. I think it's a realistic goal for them to make the playoffs, and hopefully by then they've gotten some people back and maybe can make a run.
2 weeks, Mike. Chase Garbers, Justin Wilcox, and the Bears taking on the Washington Huskies, whose number they've had since Wilcox took over.
Kate, well, I've been threatening to have a couple of friends and I in hazmat suits at the game, and if you see a couple
storm the Memorial Stadium stairs,
suspicious figures, lurking around.
I love it.
The day after Thanksgiving, then watch out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.